Yeah. What's going on, good people? Welcome to the Boom Bap Chat, number 100 and something. I am MC Till, and we're going to have a good conversation tonight. If you're watching the live feed, you know why we're going to have a good conversation. And we're going to get into that in just a minute. But as I said, I'm MC Till, and I'm representing everybody's hip-hop label and everybody's records. There's a record store here in Cincinnati, Ohio. It's a really dope record store. If you've never been, please come visit us here in Cincinnati. And if you can't, you can always go online, everybodysrecords.com, and check them out there. I also am representing Pro. I'm representing this guy right here. Look at that. Kid Abstract. He drops this album tomorrow. Kid Abstract and Leo Lopez. It's a really dope album, so encourage y'all to go get it. So that's what I'm representing tonight. Pro, who you representing tonight, man?
Man, you know what? I'm representing Mama Pro tonight, man. Her birthday today. Oh, you know, so I'm giving mom some love today, man. So
right on,
the fourth
man.
Be with her today, man.
There you go. There you go, man. Well, happy birthday, Mama Pro. That's wonderful.
Happy
That was who was on your intro, right? On your last album.
Yeah.
I thought so. Okay.
Mom's is the chief assistant and head of security. Like, mama don't be playing, Joe.
Nice.
That's dope. Straight All right. Well, let's jump into this show tonight. And let me introduce these wonderful guests. The other guys are a production duo coming out of the DMV area. They have worked with some of my favorite MCs. I know some of your favorite MCs too, Pro, including Homeboy Sandman, Sky Zoo, Substantial, Tanya Morgan, Sadat X, YU's dope, y'all, and many more. Their sound is soulful, it's boom bap, it's engaging, it tells stories without words. Hands down, some of the best production around right now. And so we're excited to have them on tonight. Let's give them a nice boom bap welcome to the other guys.
Woo! An amazing intro.
That's an amazing name. I mean,
he started saying names. Up. I'm like, I haven't even thought about those names.
Yeah. And look, the hip hop thing about it is I failed because, see, I knew he was going to do that and I didn't have the applause ready. And I'm in here digging on my desktop trying to find it. See, man, Till, we got to hire somebody to be the button pusher, man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we need a button pusher. Hey, yeah. Speaking of button pusher, our co-host, Iomas Marad, might jump in here in a moment.
Yes,
too.
Sir.
So he has some stuff going on. But fellas, yeah, thank you for being on tonight. Welcome to the show. As I said in the intro, just, you know, want to reiterate and give you flowers, man. I really appreciate the fact that a lot of producers, you know, they're chasing sounds. They're trying to be this, they're trying to be that. And I just feel like you guys have been just rock solid, dope for so many years and have a sound. I think y'all have a sound and have perfected that sound. It just gets better and better and better. And so I just appreciate y'all dedication to the craft. So thank you for being here and thank you for that, man.
Appreciate you having us.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, no doubt. So I wanted to start off tonight just asking you that about like a signature sound. Do you feel like y'all have a signature sound?
I'll let you answer.
Okay. Here's what I'll say to that. I think Joe will overall concur. I think there's a signature sound per project. So it's like if you pick up two projects and look at them, two different projects that have nothing to do with each other, they're different. And I think that's kind of what the idea is. Like if it's like stuff that we're rapping vocals on and it's just us, sonically is going to be different. And I know Joe and I talk about that a lot, about, okay, this would sound good for this. Just like how, you know, working with different artists, somebody's going to sound good on something that's boom bap, that sounds like it's straight out the 90s. But everybody's not going to sound good on that. That same rapper might not sound good on something that's probably more soul focused or jazz focused.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, that's what I would say, you know, well, at least I hope it's like that.
Yeah. Anything you'd add, Joe?
I would like to think we have a signature sound somewhat. It's a lot of elements that we put into a lot of the different productions, we put some of the same elements. Like I'm big into like voices and like harmonies. And I like to always say we like to mix the pretty with like hard. And that's kind of like what I like to do. You know what I mean? Hard drums, pretty melodies. People said that. So I kind of think that's kind of our sound. A lot of production, in my opinion, is all based on drums. I think I think I just heard somebody speak about it. Drums basically determine the genre, whether it's going to be like boom bap. We've also kind of course we're known mainly for boom bap production, but we've also kind of gotten to the I don't know, that kind of that Larry June Currency swag deal as well. And so with that, we still use a lot of the same elements, but it's a slower BPM, but still pretty samples, pretty nice melodies and hard drums. So
yeah, I love that. I think you said hard drums, pretty melodies. Was that the line? It's a great way to sum it up, man. That's dope. And I feel that, like, when I think about y'all music, like, yeah, that's what it sounds like. So how long have y'all been working together as like a production duo?
'06, '07.
Oh wow. Okay.
Right? Yeah. '06, '07.
And did y'all know each other before that?
That's my cousin.
Yeah.
Oh, work. Okay.
Yeah. but the thing about it, he's my older cousin. It's about about six, seven years between us. And easily. And also was kind of a distant cousin that I knew that did music. So the story is I wanted to get into like music. You know, I was young. I was like probably like 18, 19. Mm-hmm. And I always knew I had a cousin who lived in New York and was like, quote unquote, doing it in the underground scene. He was in a crew with Substantial at the time. And we were able to reconnect and get up, and he actually basically coached me. Like I didn't even know how to use a computer before we connected.
Yeah, it's so funny. He's probably picked up everything as fast as anyone I've ever seen pick up stuff. You know what I mean? But that was funny. I think a lot of times that was back when we were sending CDs through the mail.
I didn't even know that's how like computer illiterate I was. I didn't know you could send. This was when I seen my first stuff, like maybe 05 06. I was just starting to make beats, and I would send him beat tapes through the mail, and he was like, yo, you know you could like send this through the email. Right.
But it was so funny because back then it wasn't even a big thing. It wasn't it wasn't as commonplace as it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, it was like ChatGPT. You know what I mean? Like like you had to be kind of like slightly nerdy to know that at the time.
Go ahead. Were you gonna say something, Isaiah?
That was pretty much what happened, and you know, the rest is history, as I say, I think.
yeah, for sure. I'm glad it happened, man. How, like, when y'all are making music, I would love to know how it happens. Like, it's one person like come with the drums, someone finds like a sample or a riff or whatever. Are you working in the same room at the same on the same beat at the same time?
Okay, I would say everything. There's no one thing. I remember once I had a, I think it was an iPod with just tons of samples on it.
Oh yeah.
And I just left it over Joe's crib. It's just like he just combed through all these samples that I was like, yeah. But I didn't even leave it for that. And that's just kind of how that kind of stuff happens. You know what I mean? Sometimes maybe I'll send a bunch of breaks, literally. And Joe will comb through those, whatever, and stuff like that. We'll figure out what works and stuff, you know.
Our process has kind of evolved through the years different. Like it was an era where I've always had, like, one thing I've always had was a pretty decent ear for melody and like sample picking. But one thing I had trouble with early on, probably like the first 5 years, was drums. He programmed drums very well. Mm. So he would program, at one point he would just program drums for me and send that to me. And then I would like chop samples over the drums or play melodies over the drums. You know what I mean? And so it kind of built up. And so now I'm pretty decent with the drums. And now he sends me melodies or samples or puts me on. He's definitely our tech guy. We pride ourselves on like embracing technology.
Yeah, learning what's new.
Yeah, we definitely have a quote unquote, you know, old school 90s boom bap sound, like people want to say. But we incorporate a lot of technology into what we do. We kind of like, we keep the old motto of, you know, hard drums, chopping breaks and stuff like that. But we add pieces to what we're doing. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, for sure. It definitely has that essence, throwback essence, but it definitely feels like I hear some beats that I'm like, man, that sounds like it's straight from the 90s. Like it was, you know. There's a freshness to it, you know?
Yeah, and that's what we try to do. Yeah. We don't take away parts, we try to add on to
That's so dope. Yeah. Speaking of add on, we're adding on right now. I want to introduce you guys to another co-host that we often have on the Boom Bap Chat. We have a man, Iomas Mara, down here. What's up, Iomas?
Yo, peace, brothers. What's good?
Peace, bro.
Good to have you, man.
Nice to meet you, bro.
Yeah. You too.
Yeah.
You from Chicago? Yeah. I see the hat.
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
sir.
That's my brother.
Whole Midwest. Awesome. This whole Midwest.
Yeah,
okay.
Thanks for showing up.
Yeah, man.
Hey, Till, can we? Hey, for the people, you know, we do the podcast, so we like on the air. But for the people that are not looking at us, I gotta give a shout to Isaiah in the gym shirt though.
Oh, yeah,
I'm on it. Yeah, I give you props on it. I'm looking like, oh, for real? No, he didn't. No, he didn't. And look. See, no, he didn't. He ain't going there.
Oh, nice. Nice.
But yeah, nice. The gym. No. He's rocking the gym. Y'all don't know nothing about that. These young kids don't know, man.
Yo, I got a hologram shirt too. I almost put that on, but I was like, we're on the gym,
man.
Yes. I got a thing. I got a thing for like fake bands from like movies and TV shows and cartoons. So I got stuff and I just rock it. Like if a band popped up in a movie or something, I'll try to get something and whatever, you know, rock it. I like stuff like that.
That's what's up.
That's super dope. So there's a record label, Hipknot. And correct me if I'm wrong, y'all run Hipknot Records?
Yeah, currently.
We
didn't found it, but now we're right. I run the label.
But
it was founded by Kevin Nottingham.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And I remember some stuff went down.
Yeah. So we took over in 2018.
Okay. What's it been like running a label?
Man, funny enough, Kevin, like you said, it's a lot went down with that, but he pretty much taught us the game. We signed with him in like 2014, didn't know too much.
Yeah.
And like everything we had released prior to that was like free, and he was like our introduction into retail. And so right around maybe 2017, we did a project with Von P from Tanya Morgan called The Fiasco. And I had pretty much executive produced the whole project, and I put it out through Hipknot. And I felt like, man, I basically did everything. And so around this time, Kevin was making his, he kind of had a lifestyle change, and he was making his exodus from hip hop and left and was leaving the label. He was actually going to cut the label off. And he asked, he sent the email and was
we all got interested.
At the time, I wasn't interested because we were going to start our own label. We were already thinking about like leaving it and starting our own label. And funny enough, we had watched the movie called The Founder, about McDonald's and right. Ray Kroc, about like it's something in the name. And because Hip Now was already somewhat established, we were like, let's just keep this going. It was everything is we already got a name, it's already branded. We already got YouTube and IGs with you know what I mean, subscribers and everything. So we went ahead and purchased Hipknot from Kevin Nottingham. Running an independent label was very expensive, so we had to cut a little bit of cut some fat as far as artists, and so we kind of stuck with the Legendary members because because we already had a relationship with Tanya Morgan and Vaughn. Like Vaughn honestly gave us our first like shot, our first real shot. 100%. So we kept them and we rolled with them probably the first 2 years. Now we're slowly adding people on. Like this last Sky Zoo project is probably the biggest project that's come out. We're real proud of that.
Of course.
We're definitely gonna. Oh, go ahead. Were you gonna say something, Isaiah?
I was gonna say. I mean, and the thing about it was, I mean, at the time, it wasn't even so much our. We didn't appreciate the other artists or their work. It was just very much like we. It was a lot of people, and we can't do everything. Right. You know what I mean? It's just too crazy. I think Joe and I talked about one of the things that you noticed with a lot of indie labels end up faltering because they have too many artists to work with and too many things to do. And so the idea was, if this was going to work, to start small and expand.
And we know how it feels to, like, when you kind of feel like your project didn't get the attention that it deserved. And so that's another side of it that we didn't want to do. Like, I don't want to have 20 artists and I can't focus on it. I just put out, you done spent 7-8 months working on this project, and I just put it out like anything, you know what I mean? So I wouldn't feel right doing that either. So like, if I can't help, even now, like when we have artists like submit demos and things like that, it's just like, the first thing I ask them is like, what do you need? Because if I can't help you, I don't want to just take part ownership of anything if I'm not doing anything for you. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. It's a lot of logos out here. Nothing is happening. You know what I mean? No one's investing in, like, it's more to a label than just, you know, a logo. So.
Right. Yep. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'm glad y'all kept it going, man. I think Hipknot has, you know, currently has some great artists, you know, on the roster. You know, Tanya Morgan, I just feel like they're, you know, super dope. So I'm glad you are kept it going. Yeah, they're great.
And we kept, sorry to cut you off. Honestly, no, like, they were the motivating factor. It was just like, yo, I gotta keep them going. Not that they needed any type of motivation, but just like, yo, I gotta keep a home for those guys. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And at the time, we can do it. But go ahead.
Yeah. For sure. Now, a lot of the album covers that I've seen from Hipknot, they remind me of like older jazz covers. And I'm curious to know if I'm reading too much into that, or is there kind of a jazz?
No, you're right. And that the first one started probably with Substantial actually did this cover. I think the first time we did it was Vaughn Peace To You. We wanted to kind of look like a Blue Note jazz.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And so that was the inspiration on that. And we work a lot with what is his name? I can't think of it. But he does a lot of the Jet Life album covers. So all of the Life and Analogs and the Season of Analogs, like the Spring and Analogs, all our instrumentals are done by him. And it's 40 FPS. He does a lot of work for Jet Life. And he, one thing I like about him is he has this like retro aesthetic that he kind of sticks with.
And we think I think the covers, the idea is to have the covers stick with you. And you know, that's the thing. Like, you see a cover and it's one of those things. It's like back in the day, those like, oh, I gotta cop this just for the way it looks.
Yeah.
And I hope that all the covers still do that. And I think that's what we aim for.
When we do a cover, I'm always thinking vinyl. Like even if it don't come out on vinyl, I'm always thinking vinyl, like on the wall vinyl. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I love the jazz, the jazz inspired covers. I also know that it seems like every time Von P puts out an album, there's a Jeep in it. Can you break down the reason behind the Jeep?
There's no real reason. So I when we started working in 2014, I had bought a Jeep Wrangler, and I we picked him up in the Jeep, and we were working on a video. And he did not, like Von was, he did not want to be on no album cover whatsoever. He didn't want his face on the album cover. And I felt so proud that I was able to convince him. I was like, yo, they need to see your face, because he had done P's Gotta Have It. He wasn't on the cover. Duly Noted, which I love, he wasn't on the cover. Mm-hmm. And so we convinced him to get on it. And I was like, yo, if they see your face, man, they need to see your face.
That's the idea.
And so we just kept it going. That's my Jeep he's on. And with the Fiasco, the second album, we were doing something a little different from the first album. And so the Jeep is on fire. So that's basically him like saying that, yo, this is going to be different than to you. So,
right.
And after a while, it just became a branding thing.
It's one of those things.
To the point where I think you posted not too long ago about maybe the Jeep is coming back or something.
I said, me and Vaughn are thinking about us and Vaughn are thinking about bringing the Jeep back out. So,
So if that means another album's coming, that's great, man.
And crazy enough, the Jeep is actually in the garage. So it was funny. Getting work going.
I mean, right, the Jeep's been through a lot. Music,
the same music, Jeep, literally. The first album. Yeah,
that's dope. Before we jump into this new album that you produced for Sky Zoo, I wanted to pause Profound and Isle Moss. Is there anything you wanted to ask or follow up on up to this point?
I'm just giving props on Car Jam because I'm jamming to it in my ear right now. And the sample is crazy, B.
Oh, I appreciate that.
I hear what you're saying and the melodies and all of that.
I appreciate that.
Yeah,
that's how we get down. Facebook need to let us be great so we can start playing music, man.
The reason why I called that, I was watching New Jersey Drive when we were on that beat. Yeah, so that's why that's called.
Oh, it sound like that too.
Yeah.
That's a good one.
That's dope. Cool. Well, let's jump in. If you're just tuning in, we are with the other guys, incredible production duo, and they produced this entire album right here. This is Mind of a Saint by Sky Zoo. If you've not heard this album, it's the concept. There's a really dope show on FX called Snowfall, and the main character, Franklin Saint, man, what a character he is, man. That's we could do 1,000 podcasts just breaking down that character. But anyway, Sky Zoo is rapping the entire album as Franklin Saint. So really dope concept. But want to talk about the music tonight. How I know that you, I saw somewhere that you were trying to do a project with Sky Zoo. I think you said since 2016. So it'd been a minute. How did it come together for this particular album?
I actually wasn't telling the truth when I said 2016. Honestly, it was probably about 2007. Okay. To be honest.
It's
2016 is when we felt like it may be able to happen.
Yeah.
It's been a long journey.
But we featured him on our album Life and Analog in 2016.
Yeah.
We were able to kind of start our relationship, our formal relationship with him around 2016. Okay. We both actually met him in 2007. He was actually pushing his project with Ninth Wonder.
Yeah, Three Day High.
That's how long, you know, wow. This has been in the making. I gave him our first beat tape. Actually, I don't even know if we were a duo then. This was around the time Isaiah was taking me like under his wing and like taking me to beach battles and stuff like that.
I think we were in Jersey, right? This was in Jersey.
We was in New Jersey, and I gave him a a beat tape then. Horrible, but yeah. Horrible beat tape, but yeah. Man, him and Tor Ray, funny enough. Tor was
bad, word. So yeah. Mm-hmm. Word. Okay, so now we're, you know, present day. How did it come back together for, you know, this new album?
Man, honestly, like, patience. So around 2000 and maybe 2021. Mm-hmm. 2020, 2021, I was like, yo, like, we should really, we had released a single with him and Von P feature, and I was like, yo, we got some chemistry, let's make this happen. And he was like, yo, I'm in. He was interested, and I didn't hear much back. Right. And so, like, I had actually forgot about it, and he called one day and was like, yo, I got an idea, it's gonna sound crazy. And then he broke down the Snowfall idea, and, like, honestly, I was expecting, like, a regular, you know, when I had explained that we wanted to do an album with him, I was expecting, like, a regular Sky Zoo project.
Yeah.
But, I mean, hey, man, it's like Sky Zoo. Like, what am I going to say? No, I don't want to. I don't want to do that. So, initially, I'm not going to lie, I had some reservations, like, in my mind. And then I thought about it. I'm like, man, this is ingenious. Like, and who else?
I think the second you got on the phone with him, you called me and broke it down. And I was like, yeah, that's going to be crazy.
Yeah.
Because we're both big fans of the show Snowfall. And I know as a writer, Sky Zoo can paint really vivid imagery. So I was like, it'll totally, totally work. But
Isaiah was a humongous Sky fan. I am a Sky Zoo fan. Isaiah is a humongous. He was a humongous Sky Zoo fan.
Yeah. So
yeah.
It was interesting in that way because I love concept albums. I do, and I mean he exceeded any expectation with this project that I could have had. Like it's just. This is crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, it was the show itself. I have like a love-hate relationship with the show because it's so good. It's such a good show. But then it's like, oh man, all the stuff that goes down and all the bad decisions and like just all the terrible stuff that happens. It's just like, and nothing like made me feel that feeling than the song Bodies. And that might be my favorite beat. Oh, on the album. I don't know. There's 10 joints on here. I think there's like 9 that are my favorite beats. Like I love all the beats on here. Like they're so good. But Bodies, man, I listen to that song. It's so well put together. The beat's so dope. The way he's running through, you know, all the people. And so it's beautiful in that sense. It's well put together. But then it's like, man, to think about what he's talking about and to think about, like, I know it's just a show, but it's a real show. Like it takes you into that world. It's like real. I feel for people. Like I know that really happens and people really do get murdered and there's real life consequences to that. And so I'm thinking about that. So it's like, I love this new album. I also just hate so much about the realities.
I get
spoken
it.
On, you know?
Yeah. And he captured it perfectly, man. Like it's crazy. It's crazy. And he, I don't know if this was like a question you want to ask. What's crazy about the album is he did everything in order, like each beat with, like, it was certain beats. I'd be like, yo, did you record this yet? And he's like, nah, because it's not time, because it's not in order. Like he already like once he picked the beats and we made the beats and he knew, he recorded everything. The way you hear the album is literally the way he recorded it.
Oh,
like it's no cap. Incredible. Yeah.
Interesting. So he waited until he got all 10.
Yeah, yeah.
And got him in the right order.
Once he had the beat, he knew which beat was for which songs. Like he already had the song title. Like he was like, oh, that's Bodies right there. I'm like, what? Yeah. He's like, that's gonna be Bodies right there. Yeah, he did it.
I remember
that's Apologies in Order. Yeah.
Yeah. I remember hearing Bodies because I wasn't caught up on the whole show yet. When I heard the album. And so I remember hearing Bodies And I heard that sample. I was like, oh, man, I can't wait to see what context this excerpt is in, because it's such a tense scene. So, is there a song on the album that really that you gravitate towards, either the way that Sky Zoo, you know, blended with the beat, or just the fact that he picked that beat and that was a beat you really wanted him to pick? Is there one song that like really jumps out to
Brick by Brick, I really wanted him to use that beat. I didn't think he was going to use it. I like begged him. It wasn't that he wasn't going to use it, but he likes, and he told me he likes fast BPM beats. And Brick by Brick, it's like, you know, a slower what's happening now in the underground industry beat. But as far as like songs, I was just like blown away by it. Was like Panthers and Powder, the way he did that. I love that. And of course, everybody loves Apologies in Order.
And Views from the Valley.
Yes.
That one, it almost like, I've only been to LA a couple times, but it really feels like if I'm in LA, I gotta listen to the song. And, you know, just
yeah, they love it. They love still, that song. And they love that song in LA because it got that, you know, that old soulful, you know, low rider vibe to it, you know, 45 sound to it. I was actually happy that he picked that because funny enough, that's one of the few, the majority of the album was made to order for the project, but that's one of the few beats that we had for a minute. Like I originally had gave that to Von P, but it really wasn't like his flow. Yeah. So I was ecstatic that Views from the Valley. I was ecstatic that he used that. Yeah.
That's interesting because that beat to me is the one beat, the drums sound a little different on that beat, at least to my ears, than the drums on the rest of the album. So that's interesting.
It's dirtier, right?
It has a muddier.
Okay. Yeah, so we made that on an ASR.
Okay, yeah.
The ASR 10, the old keyboard sampler. So that is like, that's straight up like 92. So
Yeah.
Literally.
I have so many more questions about this album, but Pro and Iomas, I don't want to leave y'all out. Anything you want to follow up on before?
Man, I'm soaking it all up, man. Let's keep rolling.
So, Iomas, how about you? You just enjoying the combo?
I'm just a fly on the wall, bro.
But it's nice that you're not studying tonight. Iomas is hitting the books hard in his studies program, man. So. Awesome. Glad you're here, man. So many questions about this. So is there I thought I heard Sky Zoo, I think it was Sky Zoo, post that there was going to be maybe not another album, but more songs because he had recorded this album before the final season or two. I'm not sure exactly how many seasons.
Sky's coming. He's going to be here in my studio and at the other guy's studio at the end of the month. Working on that.
Okay.
And the plan is we've been doing 4 or 5 more tracks.
Okay. And great.
So the album's gonna have a deluxe and he moves fast. So I can expect that realistically, late summer, probably July.
Okay. Right. Oh, mm-hmm. Oh, really?
That's right around the corner. Yeah. July.
Yeah.
August, at best. Yeah. I mean, at worst. So
gonna be crazy.
I can't wait for that. I know that's one thing that Sky Zoo is good at is being quick. You know, with the pen and making quick music. Mm-hmm. So is there a follow-up, you know, thinking about the show now, not so much the music, but the show, is there like a follow-up show that you would like to see? Is there a character on Snowfall that's still alive that you would like to see them do, you know, a little, you know, another show based on that character?
I think I've heard that it's happening, but I guess Leona or Wanda.
That's what I heard too.
I'm hearing that, and I'm not no insider trading happening. I don't know, that's what I'm hearing. So
how
about you, Isaiah?
I like I always like when you can get another character and follow them later. So I definitely think that could be a thing. I also think it's interesting. It's interesting when you do that with people that were involved in things that eventually get people killed. Yeah. You know, it's hard. Yeah. It's very hard to do that, you know. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Breaking Bad and how they were able to do Better Call Saul. But as a prequel, works, which is kind of crazy.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, that's dope. Yeah, I like stuff like that, like the beginnings, like Batman beginnings type stuff. Yeah, that's cool. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it'd be cool to do a beginnings of Franklin Saint and see his upbringing. Be kind of cool.
Oh yeah, I got you. Yeah. Like, or even earlier, I got you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So is there, like, thinking about on the show, is there a scene from the show or a topic from the show that you would, that you look back and think, man, I would love to hear Sky Zoo cover, you know, this scene or this character or this thing.
I don't want to spoil, because I don't know. Have all y'all saw the finale?
I have, yes.
All right, spoiler alert for anybody who's watching. Turn it off.
Bro, I'll close your ears if you haven't seen
it. But yeah, the scene that got me is like, you said you have saw the finale?
Yeah, I've seen it, yeah.
It's like the locksmith, like the locksmith guy? Like when he does the locksmith. You remember the guy who was like the vault? The last episode, he was trying to open the vault for Franklin Saint.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
I would love for him to touch on, like, yo, like, what? Like, that scene was crazy, because I wasn't expecting that.
I know. Oh, man.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I'm like, yeah. What? Yeah. I know. Knew. So it wasn't even that bad. It wasn't even that bad of a spoiler, guys. So yeah, that's cool.
No, I won't spoil it more. But my heart sunk, man. I was so
What?
Dang.
But I think that was them showing like what he had really. That's like them putting the nail in the coffin of like what he had become.
Yeah, I think you're right. You're right. Yeah, yeah. Isaiah,
they set that up perfectly.
Like, yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. Yeah, they did. They did. They did. Yeah.
I mean, I love Franklin as a character. I loved that. I don't think I think certain characters, you have them wrestle with their decisions and it's complicated. Yeah. But the one of the things that I actually like about Franklin, and I don't always like this, but I think for him, he was who he was very early on. And what I mean by that is, as once he made the decision to start doing everything, that was it. There were no decisions. Well, maybe I shouldn't do this in this community because of this. It was, this is what I do and this is what we do. And everybody has to fall in line because of that. And you know what I mean? So it's almost kind of like he was a dark character very early on and just rolled with that, which was kind of interesting.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Yeah. Man, good show. I'm sad. I'm kind of happy and sad it's over.
No, I love when shows are able to fully finish.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I love that. Like,
yeah, I
when
like
they're able
that.
To fully finish, like, because I hate, like, sometimes a show will get pulled or just be on for too long.
Too long, yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And that's what's kind of cool about cable shows generally get in, get out, you know? Yeah,
right.
The Wire, 5 seasons. What is it? Like, Breaking Bad, I think 5 seasons. Mm-hmm. Better Call Saul, I think, like 6. Mm-hmm. You know, get in, get out, get in, get out.
Yeah. The OG power, yeah, all that.
But yeah, OG power, yes. Mm-hmm.
Do you think this album might inspire other similar type of albums? Because there's tons of characters you could, you know, do an album like this with.
Well, I hope. Me personally, I hope so. I think anytime you create something, the icing on the cake is to have it inspire people.
Yeah, I think so.
And Scott did it in a very unique way, and he's pointed it out in a few interviews. He didn't. Yeah. One thing cool that he didn't do is like, he wasn't like, I'm Franklin and I'm walking down the block and I'm selling crack, blah blah blah. He wasn't like telling you what was happening. Like, he wasn't narrating the show. You know what I mean? And then I shot him, and then I did this because he did that, and it was him. like his literally the mind monologue. Of a saint. You know what I mean?
Yeah, just genius.
That was very unique. You know what I mean?
And I think it was Purity. I think it was the last song on there where he brings in real life people.
Yeah,
is that the one?
Insane. Yeah,
I thought with that was Hush- really
yeah,
clever.
With the Nipsey Hussle ending. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Yeah, he's insane, man.
Yeah.
Sky's crazy. Yeah,
incredible.
And he didn't even tell me what he was gonna do. He was like, "Yo, you hear the verse?" And I'm like,
He knew he had something with that one.
Yeah, yeah. He's like, you hear?
Yeah.
That was definitely special. Goodness. And something else that he did was crazy. And like I said, he's mentioned this before. We've done so many interviews now. I pretty know what he would have said. Yeah. Is the 80s references. Like he doesn't like the punchlines, he's making like 80s references. You know what I mean? He's not talking about like Steph Curry, blah, blah, blah. You know what I mean? He's talking about like Magic Johnson, man.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Norm Nixon. Because what was dope, we both were watching, all three of us were watching the winning team at the same time, like we were working on the album.
Yes.
Real dope show.
Ugh, love that show.
Yeah. And so, a part of it, like, it's a lot of winning team. Like references, because what's crazy is the winning team is the same time that Snowfall is, you know, it's happening, it's placed. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? So it was a coincidence. So you have a lot of winning team and Lakers. Obviously, Franklin was in Cali, so you have a lot of Lakers references. So that's what's cool too, and you know. Me and Sky and I, we're both like big basketball heads. Crazy enough, when we did the LA show, we went to a Golden State Lakers game. So
that's funny. Yeah,
that's awesome. Funny. Yeah. Props to Sky Zoo, because I would imagine that stuff was happening when he was super young.
If yeah,
he wasn't born yet, so like he had to do research.
I had to do a lot of research. Yeah,
yeah.
A lot of research, and I think part of the magic was we did a lot of it wasn't a lot of like foul passing. We did a lot of things in the studio, so like the interludes and splicing those interludes together. It was like we all did it together. You know what I mean?
That's dope. No CDs this time though, right?
No, I didn't. No, we didn't see
no
CDs at all.
No burning CDs. No, CDRs.
I mean, but he did come in person, which some people, which is kind of quote unquote old school nowadays.
Yeah,
that is funny.
In a studio with you guys did this together in the studio.
Yeah,
you
know that's great. Like, yeah, that's awesome. That's
old
great.
Heads. But yeah. So.
Cool. Before we move on to some fun questions, anything else that you want to get across to people about that album, The Mind of a Saint?
No, not unless y'all have any questions. It's so many layers, man. I'm not just saying that, especially like with Sky and his process. We've had a chance to work with a lot of amazing MCs like since we've been doing this. But his process is, you know, everybody has their own way, but his process is insane, man. Like from the album titles, like we had album titles before we had beats. We had the beats, he did everything in order. But what's crazy about the way he did the album, that technically the storyline isn't in order.
Yeah,
you get what I mean. Yeah, but it makes sense. It's crazy. Yes. Yeah, yeah. But he pretty much made a book. He pretty much made a book on record, man. It's insane.
Yeah. It's really good. Pro Iomas, anything else on The Mind of a Saint before we move off?
How dope that is. I didn't even know that it was supposed to be connected to Snowfall. I was listening strictly because I'm a fan of Sky Zoo as an awesome MC. Like,
yes,
I had no clue. But so now I got to go back and listen with different ears now.
Oh yeah, man. Yeah,
it'll open up a whole new portal now.
Yeah, so this is
if you look at the colors,
This is supposed to be Franklin. Yeah, yeah, this is Franklin Saint.
That's the house on the backside.
This is actually Franklin's house from the show.
Yeah.
And the video he actually shot at the actual drop. He actually shot the video at the actual house. The show was filmed there.
Real quick before we get off this topic, did you all get to meet? Like, did this album open up relationships to any of the folks involved in the show?
Oh, for Scott, absolutely. Scott met like one of the main producers of the show, and they had a copy of the album before, like we even had the mastered mix version. Mm. Wanda Gale, she showed a lot of love to Apologies in Order. And okay. also we posted that on Rolling Stone interviewed Damson, the lead character, Franklin. And he was well aware of it. Him and Leon were both well aware of the project. Yep. Damson hadn't heard it, but he's like, yo, why is everybody keeps mentioning this to me? You know what I mean? Yeah. So they're well aware of everything. Yeah. But I know it opened up a relationship for Sky with Wanda, Gail Bean, and the producer as well.
That's dope.
Trevor is the producer's name. Yeah.
Because as I was enjoying, you know, the and appreciating the art, it hit me like, oh my goodness, like there's a whole nother side to this that's gonna benefit you guys in Sky Zoo.
Yeah, shout out to
the show is so successful.
P.S. I'm dope. She did this album cover. She drew it. She also drew Wale's Ambition cover.
Oh, okay.
She did Ninth Wonder's cover. I can't think of the name of the album. Where he's like got a crown on. It's like a drawing. I can't think of it, but she did that as well. Yeah, she's super dope. Shout out to her.
Yeah, man, for sure. Cool. So if you don't have it, make sure you go get it. Mind of the Saint. It was number one, I think, on iTunes for a while. It should be number one on everywhere for a long time. There it is.
Yeah.
First generation rich. Yeah. I love it.
Yeah,
that's dope. Right on. So go get that Mind of a Saint by Sky Zoo and the other guys. A really, really good project. And if you've not seen Snowfall, you can watch it first or listen to the album, get some spoilers, and then go listen. But yeah, great project. All right, wanted to ask y'all some fun questions just so that we in the room and our audience listening can get to know y'all a little bit better, know your preferences. When you think about concept albums, does one concept album come to the top as like your favorite concept album of all time? And we'll start with you, Isaiah, if you got one.
Goodness of all time.
Or just one you really like.
I really enjoy, De La Soul is Dead, to me, is a concept album. And I remember listening to it as a kid. It is one of the weirdest experiences for an album that at that time to basically be like a story and you're following the story and all these different adventures they're getting into throughout this whole album. And oddly enough, that's the Prince Paul influence. And when Prince Paul did his album, what is it? A Prince Amongst Thieves. Conceptually, those were just breaking new ground for me for their day.
Yeah.
You know, those are mine.
Those are two great ones. How about you, Joe?
I got a kind of a slightly underrated one. Master Ace, Son of Yvonne.
Such a good one.
I was a big fan of that. Like that was Over the Doom Beats. Come on, man, cheat code. And then the way it felt genuine. You know what I mean? It didn't sound like I'm gonna make an album for my mom. It just felt like, geez, man, it felt like I knew his mom. I'm from the Rock. I grew up in the Rockefeller era, so some people may not consider it a concept album, but. Kanye's College Dropout.
Mm.
Yeah. The interludes is, I kind of consider that a concept album because the whole concept was it.
Sure. How about a favorite MC? Do you have an MC that's just always rises to the top for you?
I'll let you go first. No, I got
Okay. MCs. I'll try to limit it to 4 or 5 max. Okay. Black Thought. The GZA. I'll give Common. I always say Razzcaz, and I have to say Eminem. And oddly enough, I got one more. One person who I think is amazing as a writer, but doesn't get as much, gets as much respect as a writer and artist in the way that other artists that are respected get, is Joe Budden. I'm a big fan of him.
I never got into him, but yeah.
For somebody that I never expected to get into.
Yeah.
It's kind of one of those things. It is literally the equivalent of, somebody that was best friends with a young lady forever. And then one day they realized they were in love with that young lady. And I cannot remember I can't remember the producer's name, did a album using Portishead's third album beats, use that to make beats, and then put that under Joe Budden's lyrics.
Mm.
And that was when I first realized this is what this guy has been doing. Because I think sometimes too, I think people can get branded as artists and it has nothing to do with their art, you know?
Yeah.
It's just like, you know, like sometimes I know he does things that are controversial and stuff like that, but just as an author, I have to tip my cap to him.
Yeah, right on. That's dope. Joe, how about you?
For me, like growing up, I caught him late. Like I said, I grew up in the Rockefeller era, so I caught him a little later than most. Biggie, was the perfect MC, the voice flow, wordplay. He's one of my all-time favorites, personally. Obviously, I said I grew up in the Rockefeller era, so some people hate me. Jay-Z,
gotta be Jay.
Nas.
Dope. All right.
And I was catching stuff late because I was I was in high school, 03, 04 still. And I was listening to Illmatic on cassette. People thought I was insane. Cause at the time, even though it was only 10 years old, then people were listen to that old ass album. You know what I mean?
Yeah. That's dope though. Hey, you come to the music whenever, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the beautiful thing about this, man.
Yeah, I love it. Yeah. All right.
Music doesn't expire.
No, yeah, of course. Favorite producer.
Okay.
I knew that was coming.
I'm sure. Okay. Definitely say the RZA. I don't want to leave his name out of my mouth. I never leave DJ Muggs' name out. He's incredible, insane. You know, looking at some of the stuff that he does, I would love to be in a studio with him once and just be a fly on the wall, literally. Mm. Like the same dude did Jump Around and did Insane in the Membrane. What? You know? I mean, that dude's just going crazy. I love, let me think. She's, I know I'm gonna think, I hate forgetting people. You know, but because the idea is when you're put in a position to say a name, you want to be able to say a name where somebody can go and check that work later.
Yeah, that's I the feel idea. That.
I like a lot of alternative stuff from the and trip hop stuff from the 90s and stuff like that. And so there's a singer, Bjork. Her producer is a dude named Nelly Harper. It's like it's a white guy named Nelly. And what they were doing at that time was just pushing the envelope musically and sonically. And so I love that kind of stuff. That's always that stuff that I eventually always pause and go back to just to kind of get inspired all over again.
Right. Dope. That's dope. Yeah. Y'all go check that out. That's dope.
Word up.
Yeah. Joe?
So I'm going to have to break mine. To be fair, I'm going to have to break mine down like in categories. So like, I guess me growing up and like before I actually like knew what I was doing, like with production, like before I knew what things were, I was a big fan of at the time. So it's going to be a couple of categories. So when I first started, I would say Ninth Wonder, Premier, early Kanye, Just Blaze, and the Neptunes. They inspired me because they were like from the DMV area.
Yeah.
As I got into it, like as I got into it more, I got inspired by Jake One. Like currently, like Jake One's one of my favorite. Bink, I'm a huge, yeah. humongous Bink fan.
Yeah, he's dope.
Yeah. I'm not sure if you're familiar with he's Clams Casino. He does a Clams, lot of stuff. Yeah. He did a lot of early stuff for ASAP Rocky. It's kind of like a trip. It's trip hop. And that's another like gem. We kind of blend some trip hop into the boom bap, like with the voices, mm-hmm. the oohs and ahs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's dope.
And so that, yeah. But Ninth Wonder, because like at the time I started making beats in 05, 06, Ninth Wonder and like, and Kanye are like the reason why, like when I heard the listening and the mental show, I was like, what the hell? Yeah. He's the reason why I even like felt like I could do it.
So, yeah. That's dope. Yeah. Love getting, you know, finding that inspiration that takes you in and says, I can do this. You know, De La Soul was that for me. It's like, yeah, I can do this. You know, so that's dope. That's dope. I do want to ask y'all, you know, at the very ending of what you're working on and what you're getting into. But we're going to move into this segment kind of like celebrating albums that I'm sure have inspired you. Before we do that, Iomaz, Profound, anything else on your minds?
Nope. The Bang Bang Boogie. Set up, jump the boogie.
Word.
You know?
Cool. Well, fellas.
I was just surprised I didn't hear, you know, being from the DMV, I was surprised I didn't hear no Kev Brown or no.
Yo. Yes. Don't do that to me, man. You know what's crazy? Check this out. Man. When I heard
Slim Kid and what's the other cat?
All right, that's enough, man. That's enough. So when you're talking to like, because Isaiah's list was kind of long, his list was long. Odyssey was 100%. I just seen Odyssey like 2 weeks ago. Odyssey 100%. In that middle range, like 2012 still, but 2012, 2013, man. Oh my God. That's all I was listening to was people hear what they see. I used to harass them. This is the MySpace era. I would harass Kev Brown and Odyssey all the time. Slim Cat, I know through YU. I don't know him as well, so I'm not gonna say he inspired me. Odyssey, 100%.
Yeah.
Kev Brown, the best bass lines in the business. The dude, he makes. I played a live bass, like, and he can make an NPC sound like he's the best bass player in the world.
Goodness gracious.
But yeah, for me, Odyssey was definitely an inspiration. he's the first producer I seen in the area in print. We saw him in a, it was a magazine called Scratch Magazine, and he had he had a I'll never forget, he had a t-shirt on. It said it was an Adidas t-shirt. It said I, and it was like a heart and Adidas logo, DC. And I'm like, who the hell is this? I had never heard of him. I'm like, who the hell is this from DC? Like doing it. So yeah, 100%, man. Kev Brown, yeah. Odyssey. Like I said, that they definitely early inspirations, especially inspirations from the city. Cause yeah, he's the, when he dropped his album, I actually reposted his album and he reposted it too. I was like, yo, the DMV captain. So yeah, pardon me.
Yeah, it's hard. I'll say it's so hard to think of everybody.
Right.
Because the reason why I said that, like, where we from, Chicago, we always start with the people from our city that influenced us. Like, you know, Doug Infinite, No ID. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Andy C. Them dudes, like, who were, like, the architects of Kanye. If it wasn't for them, Kanye wouldn't exist. You know what I'm saying? So
yeah.
We always stay rooted with the... Like, Doug is like our big brother, so we was always trying to be like what Doug was.
You know? Yeah. So DC is a little different because, like, when Isaiah he grew up in the 90s, and so like when he was doing, we have a big go-go scene. So in the 90s, go-go was the thing. You were kind of weird. It was kind of lame. Yeah, see, you were kind of lame if you did hip hop.
Yeah, hip hop got cool later.
Yeah. You know? And so like in DC, you either like New York hip hop, because we're in what you call the Middle East Coast. And so you either like New York hip hop or you like Southern hip hop. And so we didn't have a scene. Yeah. So we didn't really have a scene. Like when I was growing up, we didn't really have a scene.
And the second the scene popped off, I moved to New York.
And he moved, yeah. So, so unfortunately, like Odyssey and Kev Brown, even though, we loved them, we caught on to them actually later. Because what happens in the DMV, you get more love other places. Like our biggest market is Chicago and L.A.
Mm.
And oh, like, if I go here, no one knows who the hell I am. But in LA, we got a lot of love when we went there. And unfortunately, that's how it is with like the Odyssey and the Kev Brown. They was already popping like other places before I even knew who they were.
Yeah. Wow.
That's always how it is, man. The prophet ain't accepted in his own hometown. You feel me?
Yeah.
That's how. With Dilla, like Dilla will walk around Detroit. Nobody knew who he was, but he was known all over the world.
Yeah.
That's wild. Dilla. Yeah. Cool. All right. So we normally do this little last segment called One Word, but I thought we'd have some fun. And I thought you guys, since you're a production duo, I thought you all could like finalize some lingering questions that the hip hop community has. And you all can be the final authority on it.
Final authority. It's hilarious.
It's for fun. Okay. And we're gonna celebrate these albums by having a little fun with them. All right. Okay. So if you had a pick to say this album is definitely better than that album, which one would it be? All right. Which one would it be? And just having some fun. And you can make your case. You can make your case. All right.
Okay.
All right.
Okay.
And we can celebrate both of them. All right, we got Reasonable Doubt over here. Mm-hmm. All right. And then we got Illmatic by Nas over here.
That's devilish, man.
That's...
What's the question? I'm going to let you go, I first. Like, what's the which album is better?
Yeah, can you say one album is better than the other? What'd you say, bro? Go ahead, bro.
Some of us say that there's only one right answer. There's only one right answer.
My
answer, which is kind of funny. Illmatic may be the only Nas album that I listen to more than a Jay-Z album. Mm. I think that's the one I think Illmatic for me is just the one in that sense. I loved Reasonable Doubt, but the replay value for me goes to Illmatic. If I can only pick one on a deserted island, I have to take Illmatic.
That'd be the one. I got you. Yeah.
But of course, I love both of them.
Yeah, they're both dope for sure. How about you, Joe?
Illmatic. I'm gonna go with Illmatic. Yeah, that if I was on a deserted island, I would go with Illmatic. The story of Reasonable Doubt kind of it inspires me though.
Like, yes,
from a business aspect, from it like, essentially being an independent record and the way that they flipped that thing, man. It's amazing, but just from an album standpoint, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
As he pointed out, no famous guest appearances, all that, you know what I mean? It's a perfect album.
I don't know, man. If you're on a deserted island, though, this has more songs on it, so it's a little longer.
It might help. It's definitely longer, and it has some of my all-time like favorite, like feeling it. Yeah. I have to play it once a week, man.
All right. So I think that was the easier. That was the easier question. I think most people would go with Illmatic.
There's some
that would pick Reasonable Doubt for sure, but I think most would probably go. But this one's a little harder. This is the other one I want you all to solve for. Sorry, this is on this side. It's the Listening by Little Brother.
Okay.
And then over here we have the Minstrel Show by Little Brother. The verdict is out. I've heard a lot of people claim both albums are their best.
My ears be different, man, because I'm a producer, but I'm gonna go with. Granted, I love the Minstrel Show, but the Listening to me, I think is a better, slightly better album.
I literally was gonna say the Minstrel
by a hair.
Not by much.
I'm talking Low End Theory, Midnight Marauders. It ain't no wrong answers.
Yeah, for sure.
And to answer that question, I am a Midnight Marauders guy. But yeah.
Okay,
I'm a Midnight. Right. Yo, I don't know. In my head, I was like, "Are you gonna put Low End Theory and Midnight Marauders up?" And I am a Midnight Marauders guy.
Yeah. The issue, my only slight, and granted, it's classic album is I think Midnight Marauders just kind of aged better. You know what I mean? Like Low End Theory had like some parts you can tell like this is goddamn 1990. You know what I mean?
Yeah. No, it's like, you're 100%. I think it's like that. I think Midnight Marauders has a way of existing that if it came out today, it would still work. And that's what makes it quote unquote timeless in that way.
Yeah. It's interesting because I think Low End Theory probably had more impact on music overall. But I agree with you that Marauders stood the test of time. So it's interesting they have those different
one of the songs on Low End Theory is Sky Pager. Like what the hell is that? So like I tell my son, my son barely knows what a house phone is. So
oh, that's funny.
Like what the hell is a house phone? So yeah.
All right, we solved those issues. Now I just want to do the original segment that we normally do. Our normal segment is one word. We just have three albums tonight. So I'm going to show you an album and just want to invite you to respond to the album in one word. All right?
Yeah.
Okay. First one here is Brooklyn Natty by Tanya Morgan.
Classic.
Oh. Agreement, classic. I love this album. Dope album. Okay. And then we got Peddler Themes by Sky Zoo.
Banging. I love that project.
Banging. Yeah, I do too. Awesome. Yeah, I love that's one of my favorites. All right. Have to do this one since we talked about it so much. This is The Mind of a Saint by Sky Zoo.
Phenomenal.
Two words, career changing.
I love it.
Yeah, no doubt. That's an incredible album. Speaking of career changing, what are y'all, can y'all give us a little sneak peek on what you're working on next?
Right now, like Sky has a slaving. I'm thinking we're like almost done. I've already sent him some beats for the deluxe.
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, I'm still coming to DC. These are, I'm like, bro, I thought we already had the beats. He's like, yeah, I'm still want to come to DC. So right, obviously that's what we're working on.
Yeah.
We got a new project with Von P dropping hopefully at the end of the year.
Yeah.
And we got some things in the works for next year. As far as the label, Hipknot, we're extremely busy.
Yeah.
We're dropping a project with Germicide from The Legendary and Megaran. You familiar with Megaran?
Oh yeah, we know Megaran. Yeah, he's been on the show.
Yeah, we're dropping a vinyl album with them that's getting pressed currently. Tanya Morgan, we're dropping a new project with them in the fall as well. We have an artist named Rob Cave. He did a project with 88 Keys. He's about to actually. We're dropping we're dropping a single for him tomorrow. Not with the 88 Keys project, but he has a project with 88 Keys that's dropping. And we just signed an artist named Moses Rockwell. He works a lot with. You familiar with Moses Rockwell?
Yeah, he's dope. Yeah.
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
He's dope.
He just signed. He's officially on the label.
He's officially on that now. So yeah.
Right, we're really excited to have him, man. He works a lot with like Homeboy Sandman.
That crew.
Very, very different. Very authentic, man. Love him. What else we got going on? Top of my head, that's all I can think of.
That's more than enough.
Yeah.
That's more than enough stuff going on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, keeping you busy. Well, I'm glad to hear about those new albums, new Von P. Can't wait for that.
Oh,
yeah.
Verbal Kent from Chicago.
Oh, okay.
I was actually supposed to call that guy.
You tell that brother I said, what's up? He know me and I are real well, man. I know.
Oh, Verbal. Word. Yeah, bro. Verbal man. Kent. Yeah, we did an album with Verbal Kent maybe like 2 years ago.
Dude, I think it's longer than two now, right?
I mean, it came out 2 years ago. Yeah, it took a while. It kept getting pushed back. But yeah, Verbal Kent. We're working on some stuff with him.
Nice.
So yeah, he's gonna be releasing some stuff on Hipknot.
Okay.
I don't want to give up the details too much, but yeah.
It'll be dope.
Yeah, it may be a group that was on another label that may be coming over to us, and Rebel Kent is in a group, and it's another MC. Yeah. So
I think we know who you're talking about.
Yeah. Without giving it away.
Surprise.
Yeah, he's talking about VK, that's the brother.
We'll have to get him on the show, man. Get
Daniel
Verbal
Kent.
That's dope. Right on, fellas. Well, listen, the last thing we always before we do the last thing, how do you all want people to reach out to you? What's your handles, all that, website?
Everything's at Other Guys Music. You can pick up merch, vinyl, anything from the label, from the album merch. If it ain't sold out, most of I think we just got small t-shirts and the Mind of the Saint. We appreciate the support on that.
Yeah.
Fat Beats just hit us up and just told us that they sold out of the pre-orders of the vinyl.
Oh, wow.
So if you don't have it, you probably going to wait for the deluxe. We're definitely blessed in that area. So
that's great.
HipknotRecords.com. And on social media, at Other Guys Music, everything.
Yeah.
Other Guys, at Other Guys Music. So, yeah.
Pretty easy to find us in that way. Literally.
Right on. Right on. Well, it's a hip hop show, so we always give shout outs as the final thing. So we'll give some shout outs and then we'll turn it over to you guys. Iomas, who you want to shout out tonight, my man?
I'm out of it, man.
Sorry, man.
But just shout out to life, Hip said. Just surviving academia.
Yeah, surviving academia.
Yeah.
Shout out to Professor Hampton, who's supervising my work, and my Boom Bat Chat brothers, Bo, Stowe, Pro, Till, Joe November. And just shout out the brothers that's on today, man. appreciate y'all, man, for taking the time to come through.
Oh, appreciate y'all having us.
My apologies for being late, man.
Oh, no.
But,
no problem.
Yeah, keep doing
best food I ever had was in Chicago. Rebel Kent took me around.
Joe, tell me about that.
Oh, yeah, he didn't go. I gained like 15 pounds in Chicago on the weekend. Sure. I love Chicago.
Right on.
Shout out the crib, man. Shout out Chicago, Southside, Inglewood, you know what I'm saying, all day. So, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. No doubt. Thanks, Io.
Verbal didn't bring me around there, but yeah. But shout out to them too. Yeah.
Yo, Pro, who you want to shout out tonight, man?
Man, the Profound Six, man, Amir Zach here, Ari, Rosie, Dadlide, Elijah, all of them should be in the bed. Mom Dukes again on the birthday. Happy birthday, Mama. The other guys, man, y'all got some incredible energy, man. First time meeting y'all, man, and I'm sure it ain't gonna be the last. And I wish y'all nothing but success, man. And may Allah keep blessing y'all, man, because y'all do good work, bro. Y'all do good work, and y'all got I can see like y'all got a long road ahead, man. Y'all got a lot more stuff coming up, man. And I'm excited to hear what y'all got, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
Thank you.
Keeping the family, I want to shout out a new addition to our family. We got a dog, so shout out to. To nice. Desi, DJ Desi. Shout out to my wife, Larita, beautiful woman, my son, Oliver, and my daughter, Zoe. And a shout out to this guy. Shouted him out earlier. Kid Abstract, new album, Still Dreaming, is out at midnight tonight. So make sure you get that. Yeah, shout out Sky Zoo. We've been talking about Sky Zoo. Shout out to Sky Zoo. And last but you know, certainly not least, shout out you guys, Isaiah, Joe, the other guys. Thank you for sharing your music with us. So much dope music over the years. And like Pro said, it just feels like y'all are just getting started in some ways. And so I think I'm just excited to see what else is coming in the future. Really love your music. And thank you for making it, putting it out. And thanks for, you know, giving up some of your time to be with us tonight. So thank you. And with that, I'll turn it over to you guys to give the final shout outs.
Go ahead.
Well, I'm not going to shout you out because you're already here. I want to just shout out to everybody listening and listening now live and that checks us out later. I just really appreciate them rocking with us 100%. Like that, it's just a great inspiring feeling. And if they're rocking with us and giving us that feeling, I hope at some point they get that same feeling, you know.
Yeah. Joe.
Shout out to y'all for having us. Like we don't take it lightly. Like we we appreciate any and every interview, man. Like like for y'all to think of us, to have us, we appreciate it. Shout out to everybody who's listened and supported the album. Shout out to the DMV area. Shout out to the producer that's like in his living room right now with 50 followers and just trying to get beats off, who's sending out 100 emails, because that was us 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yes. Shout out to that guy. Keep going.
Always keep going.
Yeah.
Always. Dope. Mm-hmm. Dope.
Wait. Golden State up 30.
Oh, no. Are you joking?
What? No. Dang.
They up 122-92 with 5 minutes left in the game.
Shoot.
Crazy. Basketball's crazy.
Sometimes. Man, this is such a great interview, and then you have to drop that on us, Profound.
Yeah.
Curry and his boy. Shout out, Chef. Crazy.
That dude.
When they're cooking, they are cooking.
Yeah.
They're cooking.
Dang.
We end on that note.
I don't even want to say peace after that.
I'll say it for you. Peace.